Tonight, political controversy clashes with public trust. Why is Pam Bondi under fire over the release of the Jeffrey Epstein files? What do conservative women, a crucial voting bloc, think about it? And could this controversy sway the midterm elections? We'll explore the politics, the personalities, and the potential fallout on this episode of Perspective. I'm Scotty Nell Hughes. Let's get started. The government has released millions of pages of documents related to Jeffrey Epstein. But the rollout has been anything but smooth. Now, last week, documents were released showing more than 300 names of prominent individuals mentioned in the files. But critics say many names remain redacted or withheld entirely, and the process has drawn bipartisan criticism. Now, at the center of the controversy, well, that's Pam Bondi, who oversaw the Department of Justice's release of the documents. Lawmakers from both parties have accused her of excessive redactions and of failing to fully comply with the law that required transparency. Critics say key information that might shed light on how powerful networks operated around Epstein have been obscured. Survivors of Epstein's crimes have publicly decried the release as incomplete or re-traumatizing, arguing the redactions and delays undermine accountability.
The Dow right now is over. The Dow is over $50,000. I don't know why you're laughing. You're a great stock trader, as I hear, Raskin. The Dow is over 50,000 right now. The S&P at almost 7,000. And the NASDAQ smashing records. Americans' 401ks and retirement savings are booming. That's what we should be talking about. We should be talking about making Americans safe. We should be talking about, what does a Dow have to do with anything? That's what they just asked. Are you kidding?
That will go down as the worst answer in history, let me just point out. But some conservative commentators, well, and Republican voters are growing frustrated. They're raising the specter that this high-profile controversy could influence voter sentiment, especially among conservative women, a demographic that helped shape previous elections. So tonight, we're asking the question, will this political drama matter at the ballot box in November? This isn't just about transparency. It's about trust. And trust, or the lack of it, can change the direction of an election. So joining us today to discuss this further is Angie Wong, Miami Republican committeewoman, and Dr. Sherry O'Connell, former O'Donnell 2022 Republican congressional candidate in Michigan's 5th District. Thank you for joining me, ladies, and welcome to you both.
Thank you for having us.
Angie, I want to start with you because recent releases of these Epstein files have drawn bipartisan criticism for how they were handled. This includes accusations of the redactions and the delay. How do you see this perception of mishandling affect trust among voters, specifically conservative women?
Yeah, no matter what Pam Bondi or the DOJ does, it's never going to be enough. She's already come out last week to say all 3.5 million documents have been released on the Jeffrey Epstein files. Still, people are saying, well, that's only 40% of the documents. There's all these redactions. So it's never, ever, ever going to be enough. They're trying to ride this all the way to the November midterms. So, you know, this is the narrative Democrats want to keep pushing. Now, remember, all of this, what we just saw, that clip that we just saw, it's so much of it is political theater. Democrats love pulling the Trump administration to the Hill. We had Marco Rubio a few weeks ago. Scott Bessent was also up the Hill having to explain the Trump agenda. Now is Pam Bondi and her handling of the Epstein files. It was also a preview for Hillary Clinton because she's about to have her congressional depositions on February 26th, and she wanted to see what Pam Bondi was going to say. In fact, she reminded Pam Bondi in one of her interviews that you said, based on congressional law, that you've released every single record you have on Epstein. You can't do a gotcha moment when we come up to the Hill. So there's a lot of political theater here. It's fun to watch.
So, Angie, I just have to ask you, are you satisfied by what has been released by Epstein? Are you okay with what's come out, the justice that has been served up to date and want to move on? Where do you stand?
I think we're still cycling through the 3.5 million documents that have just been released. I would like to see more accountability held. I would like to see more prosecutions. I know that Deputy AG Todd Blanche had said that he's open to this. And we're seeing it in Europe. We're seeing a lot of European leaders caught up in the Epstein files now being looked at for criminal prosecution. I'd like to see more of that coming, because releasing the files is just not enough. That's just the start. I'd love to see this continue on to more people being prosecuted for these crimes.
Sherry, you've recently been on the ballot, so obviously you've talked to both men and women that you were hoping would come out and vote for you. Do you think this is having an impact on women, especially conservative women, when they think about when they go to the polls and who they vote for?
I don't think that we're going to see a big change in this upcoming election. What I do think is that people are so ready for the transparency that was promised, and we're not seeing that. So I don't think immediately it's going to impact it. And I think the other thing that we need to keep in mind is that the women are supporting Trump, but I agree with Andrea that said this is political theater, and it absolutely is. These files have been known for several presidential terms, and yet now it's Trump is holding the bag. One of the things that Bondi has not done is, first off, it took way too long to redact any of that, and she keeps saying, yes, we've released it, and it's not being consistent. The other thing that she's done, of course, which is detrimental to Trump's administration at large, is the fact that the release of the victims' names, that should have never been done. But in the meanwhile that she's released victims' names, she's continuing to protect some very powerful people that are on there that should not have been protected. Furthermore, if this wasn't a malicious attempt, one of the things we're seeing is that it certainly is not as transparent. And this was a very debacle way in which this was done. Being in medicine, I've got to be so careful of HIPAA and the violations of patient information. This should have been handled in the same way in which we would release a patient's information, and it's not. As far as do I think it's going to impact the polls with Trump and the Republicans at all, I think the Republicans right now are still much stronger than the Democrats. And what's happening is that they can't put forth a valid and a viable candidate for not only the presidency, but also for several down polls. And what we're seeing, I just think that they're continuing to grab at anything that they can for the political arena and drama that's happening. But this was not handled correctly, but I don't think we're going to see a great impact on the polls, or at least hopefully not. One of the things we've got to be aware of is also the voters' memories are very, very short, and we've got to keep up what Trump has done. And when you stop and see what he's done in his first year of this term, has been pretty amazing.
Well, that's the thing, Dr. Donald, because, Angie, conservative women have historically been reliable Republican voters. But once again, it's all about engagement. So what issues typically drive this turnout, Angie? And could this controversy compete with issues like the economy, abortion, or national security? Are women going to push that aside and say, you know what, I'm going to go back and focus on the main issues that impact me daily right now?
Yeah, and I've been looking for those issues. Believe me, I have, because we need to, you know, we're voters, but we vote also on emotions. We rage voted in 2024. We don't have that same rage in 26 because guess what? We control all the houses, right? And we can't be the problem. But we do vote a lot on emotions. So I've been looking for those main street issues that will drive voters to come out, because what we've seen with the special elections since the 2024 elections is that Republicans are not winning those special elections. Why? There's just no issues to come out for. And, you know, special elections are hard anyway. So I think we need to get that ready for November. I'm starting to see those issues being perhaps back in the schools. We see a lot of teachers' unions asking students to skip class and go do anti-ICE protests. So we're starting to see those things. That's the kind of issues that I know myself as a mom, I will make no apologies of wanting to have safe streets and safe communities. But meanwhile, we have our teachers egging on our students to be little mini activists, which should never happen in our schools. So I think that's going to be one of the issues for women. Epstein, I'm not sure if that's going to have enough legs to November, although I would like to see Pam Bondi and President Trump pursue those who are responsible for a lot of these heinous crimes. I think that will go a lot towards getting out the women vote.
You know, Dr. O'Donnell, being on the ballot yourself, being a female, I'm sure you actually achieved or had criticism that came against you, that probably a male opponent, someone in that category, might not have had. They probably critiqued your clothes, your hair, your style, your attitude, the way you projected yourself, things that you very rarely would ever hear of a male candidate, even as a Republican. Pam Bondi's combative performance during congressional hearings, well, that's been widely shared online and on social media platforms. In your view, do you think that if she was a man and would have had that same take and that same presentation and combative nature that she didn't, that she'd be receiving as much controversy and as much pushback as she did?
I think perhaps she wouldn't have received as much pushback as she has, but she certainly did not follow any decorum. And I think if anybody would continue to rage the way she did and scream at the senators even that she did, which was totally unacceptable, I think they should have had some pushback. Do I think that it would have been as much? No, because what she looked like was a raging female crazy woman. And that's never, you've got to follow decorum. You've got to know who you're speaking to. And also just her behavior was unacceptable.
Well, and that's
Angie,
I want to get your opinion on this. Do you feel like that she was pushed into that corner, or that if she was a male, like you said, Marco Rubio came out and he talked just a few weeks before or a week before and had some of that same pushback and praised for it? Do you think a lot of this pushback on her is because that she's a female, and are conservative women sticking up enough for her even being in this position?
Well, Marco Rubio was a masterclass. He schooled the congressional members that were asking him questions, right? So he was telling them, no, I'm not going to play your game. Pam Bondi didn't come off the same way. She's a skilled litigator, right? Remember, she was also the AG for Florida for a number of years. So I didn't see those skills come across in the courtroom, which is what I was hoping for. She reverted back to MAGA talking points. She almost said, make America great again, which was, you know, not exactly what you should be doing. She should understand the media game a little bit more, the PR game, that what she says is going to get clipped and put into headlines. She was a little bit ill-prepared for that, although she was very combative. Here's the thing I see over and over again with conservative women, especially those in politics. We have to almost become alpha men to compete. And I don't really like to see that, but at the same time, like, where's that soft spot? Where can you be feminine and also be in politics, right? So I think she was definitely overexerting herself to be the MAGA girl in that court in on the Hill. But again, I don't think there was ever going to be a perfect scenario. She knew that was going to be her day where she had 4 to 5 hours in front of Congress to basically bat questions. And I think she did it as best as she could.
Angie, Dr. O'Donnell, thank you both. Stay right there, because when we come back, we're going to explore specifically whether this controversy could influence conservative women's votes and whether Republican candidates are already adjusting their messaging to respond to voter concerns. Stay with us. Welcome back. We're examining whether the Epstein Files controversy and Pam Bondi's handling of it could meaningfully affect conservative women heading into the midterm elections. Now, joining us today to discuss this further is Angie Wong, Miami Republican Committeewoman, and Dr. Sherry O'Donnell, former 2022 Republican congressional candidate in Michigan's 5th District. Both of you have been in the public eye as a conservative woman, and it would be interesting one day to hear your take on how your campaign trail might differ from those that you've seen in the past. But that being said, I want to talk about this idea of transparency, which I think is very important. Women need to have trust. And Dr. O'Connell, O'Donnell, when you look at what's going on right now, do you think transparency is happening right now within the Trump administration, especially with the Epstein files? And is that going to affect women trusting those they go to vote for in November?
Scotty, we've lost trust at many, many levels in the past several years. And I think the way that this has been handled from the very beginning is continuing to cause the increase in distrust. You know, all the way, and I'm sorry, as a physician, all the way from COVID and the way that that was handled all the way through current. And we keep saying transparency. We say we're the party of transparency and truth. And that needs to be happening. And with the Epstein files, that has not been happening. And I think to regain the trust of the American people, especially the conservative women, we need to get back to honesty and transparency and making certain that happens all the way from D.C. and in every election between, because it's not happening and it is losing the confidence of the people. And I'm ready for people to come out and vote for great candidates and not say, well, gee, this is the lesser of the two evils, or who do we want? You know, the lesser, it's got to be that we are supporting truth.
That's the thing, Dr. Donald, while I have you on here, do I have to, you know, in the past, health care to women have been a major issue that Democrats have used to say, well, if you're a woman, you can't vote Republican, you have to vote Democrat. Do you see the policies of the Republican Party changing that attract women to the Republican Party based on health care issues? And I'm not just talking about the abortion issue, but other issues that the Republican Party is starting to open themselves up into accepting.
Very much so. I think especially when it comes, we're going to open a whole can of worms here, Scotty, but especially when it comes to the transgender and the ideology that's happening in the schools, and even as Andrea said that they're, Angie, sorry, that's when recently what she said, even the school teachers are promoting little activists in our communities to, you know, go and come against ICE. And what I saw recently was one of our school teachers in our local community had it written all over her car, defund ICE, and all sorts of superlatives that simply don't belong on teachers' cars, let alone at the schools. And I think mama bears are definitely coming out and being very, very concerned about that and saying, no, we're not going to continue to do that. And as long as that's what the Dems keep pushing, we're going to continue to gain more Republican women. We're going to even gain some of the Democrat women that are saying that they've pushed the envelope too far. And the transparency has to be there if we continue to want to garner that support.
Angie, you are in South Florida. You're in Miami. Obviously, there's a lot of issues that are going down there that have to do with immigration. How do you think women are looking at what's going on with ICE and all of the protests around the country, but especially in a state like Florida that has recently turned red thanks to work of your own? How do you think women are viewing that? Are they looking at what's going on with the immigration policy and thinking, I'm going to go Republican, or is it possibly pushing them back to vote blue?
Yeah, I mean, and that is a real question to ask, and that's going to be a referendum on the Trump agenda coming up for this midterm election. What we're seeing is a lot of fear-mongering from the Democrats. They're all over the Spanish radios talking about how not to drop off Johnny at school today because there's an ICE detention bus around the corner. So a lot of it is just fear-mongering. A lot of it's fake, but it's effective, and it's certainly affecting women in my district of Miami, where there's a huge Latino community. So I think that is going to be a real issue. And I think President Trump, along with Tom Holman, they know the politics of it. They know the optics of it. I think that's why we're seeing a wind down a lot of the very visible ICE operations, right? They're now just going into the detention centers, the jails, things that people can't flip open a camera and start recording on, right? They're not going to go to an open mall to start arresting people as much. I think we're going to see that because it's not polling well for Trump. And it's certainly going to be affecting November. I think the female voters, especially in South Florida, we're still very pro-Trump because we like his economic policies, because we like that, you know, he is driving down prices in gas, and we see it every single day. Our gas is close to $2 a gallon down here. I mean, we're happy about these things. These are real-life issues. We want to see safe communities. I would love to have that issue pushed out as a counter to all the anti-ICE protests. Moms should never have to apologize for wanting safe communities for our families.
Well, and that's my question to you, Dr. O'Donnell, because we're seeing this time, and we don't have the official numbers yet because not all the ballots have been qualified for, but you're seeing in states like South Carolina, Tennessee, other states that have been traditionally run by men, you have female candidates being the front runners to be their first governors or their second in the case of South Carolina. For as a female in this position, do you think the Republican Party is doing a good job right now promoting those women within the party, or are there still a lot of glass ceiling layers that have to be broken to get people to actually vote for a female Republican candidate?
I'd like to see stronger support, especially from the national level for their female candidates. They're getting better, but I think a female candidate, first off, has about 3-point advantage over a male because of the polls have shown that they have about a 3-point percentage over that. So when we're seeing that with the voters, I think it would be important and beneficial to have that support on a national level, and we're just not seeing that yet.
Well, that's the one thing, Angie. You know, I always said that the liberal women have co-opted the term feminist. I think feminism can exist on the conservative aisle. I think there's a lot of strong women here that are looking for equality. They don't necessarily need to be better. They just want to be equal in some rooms. What can Republicans do, in men and women within the party, the GOP, do right now to better not take those women that were put in a binder by previous Republican candidates and make sure that they're front and center in that conversation, that we continue to attract more women over to the party?
Well, I agree with the doctor. I agree with you, Scotty. It's our time. This is our time. And I'll tell you why it's perfect timing for the GOP to start embracing more female candidates. Because we are combating other female candidates. And in the hierarchy with Democrat voters and some independent voters, being female or male is, it's one of the check marks that they think about when they go to the ballot box. So if you negate a female candidate with another female candidate, what do you have left? Oh, their policies. You mean actually what they stand for, what they can get for voting in a better quality candidate. So that's a great way of combating Democrats on the ballot. I saw this happening in Texas, where Democrats used it on a very deep red county in Texas, where they won the state Senate seat recently. The Democrats held up a candidate that looks like a MAGA Republican candidate, and it confused the voters so much that they voted for Democrat. So they're playing those games. I think not just because it knocks out another female candidate, but I think, you know, we are stronger candidates. We care about our communities. We're embedded in our communities for the most part. I think there are great qualities, and I love that we're, you know, immediately, that's like a 3-point up. I didn't know that was the case. I'd love to use that over and over again, especially when I'm helping out candidates for the midterm elections. I think the RNC has to get on the program, start promoting strong women for these positions, because we do have the advantage. It is something that I think would be exciting to vote for. So that's what we need to work on, the momentum, the excitement, and getting the vote out for November. And if being a female can help that, let's do that.
Well, to Angie's point, Dr. O'Donnell, I always said the reason why Hillary Clinton was defeated was not by the men in the Republican Party, it was by the women that actually had the nerve to come out and actually vote R for some of them, not only vote for the first time, but actually vote R if they had voted in the previous times. But we are looking at going into the future, and right now you're looking on both sides of the aisle. You have Alicia Cortez, you have AOC on the Democrats being promoted as a possible presidential nominee on the Democrat side. But on the Republican side, we're still having male candidates being also named not only to the president, but also the vice president slot. Do you think we will ever see a time when you will see a female Republican presidential nominee in our lifetime, or at least a vice presidential nominee?
Do I think we'll see it in our lifetime? Yes. Do I think we're ready for that at this point? No, but you look at the scope and the landscape of the Republican Party right now, and there are some great leaders coming up, and I'd like to see that continue to be promoted. Do I think we'll see it? Yes. Do I think we'll see it immediately? Not for a while.
Well, let's bring it back to how we all started this, Angie, because some Republican operatives are worried that the controversy that we're seeing with Jeffrey Epstein does feed this narrative of a corrupt establishment. Like you pointed out, the Republicans are in control of all three. Closing, do you think paradoxically this increased turnout into voters who are already distrust the middle class is going to keep people at home, or is it going to get them to the polls?
Yeah, we need those issues out there, guys. This is going to be an issue-based election. This is not going to be like, I really like this candidate, or I'm a fangirl of that candidate. This is more going to be about President Trump, a referendum on his first 2 years in office by November, and whether or not, you know, he gets a grade A. I think that's what you're going to see, because the candidates themselves, they have to come out and actually also get on the program and, you know, push out the agendas coming from the White House and so forth as well. There has to be some sort of unity, some sort of cohesion and singular message, or maybe three singular messages rather than whatever you want to say. I know elections are local and they're local-based issues, but there are going to have to be some championship of the kind of federal level issues as well if we're all going to win together.
That's the thing, Dr. O'Donnell, because you're going to see on the campaign trail, both Republicans and Democrats, but mainly Republican candidates that are out there, they're going to be asked about this issue, regardless whether they want to be or not. It's a very viral issue. So how might Republican candidates distance themselves from or embrace this issue on the campaign trail? Can they criticize this administration's handling of the Epstein files so far?
I think we need to be careful of the criticism against the Trump administration at large regarding the Epstein, and I think we need to really continue to stoke that he has accomplished. I was at the border when I was running for in Congress as well as Senate, but I was at the border in five different locations. Our border is now safe and closed. And rather than commenting how ICE is doing and arresting people, we need to be looking at our borders are a whole lot safer than they were before Trump administration got in. We need to be looking at the economy that it is improving. We need to be looking at those things that have been positive and make those the issues. We need to make certain we are protecting our children at all costs. You know, that not only will continue to resonate with the female voters, but it will also continue to resonate with voters when we realize that our children are safer than what they were, especially regarding some of the transgenderism, some of the ideology that's being taught at school, the border being closed, the crime rate being down. Those are things we need to continue to promote and show the accomplishments that this administration has occurred and has done. And I think those things will play well with the voters.
Well, Angie Wong, Dr. Sherry O'Donnell, thank you so much for joining us. And I would hope they would show this video at every candidate school across the United States the next few months, because this is advice well taken. If they take it, though, that's to be seen. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Tonight's conversation highlights a brewing dilemma in American politics. Transparency and trust matter, especially to voters who feel their voices and concerns are overlooked. Now, a controversy like the Epstein files and the handling of its release, and a high-profile figure like Pam Bondi caught in the center, can cut across party lines, prompting questions about accountability, credibility, and leadership. Whether this becomes a decisive factor for conservative women at the polls, well, that remains uncertain. But what is clear is that voters are paying attention to how their leaders respond to controversy, to how institutions uphold their responsibilities, and to whether the political class lives up to its promises. In a tight midterm environment, even a small shift in sentiment amongst key demographics can alter outcomes, making stories just like this one more than just a headline, but potential inflection points. This has been Perspective. I'm Scotty Nell Hughes. Thank you for watching.